elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, this is the Lord speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. You say, Corban is what they would say. That means it's a gift. And so they wouldn't honor their father and their mother. And they said, he's free from that law because of this tradition. And the Lord says, thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Apparently this woman, after the Lord didn't answer her, she went to his disciples. And then they came to him and said, she's crying after us. But he answered and said, this is what he said to them. He said this to his disciples that were there with him. This was the word he gave them to go back and give to her. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she to the Lord and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, now he's talking to her, she's come to him again. It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your abundant grace and mercy. We thank you that you hear us when we pray, when we come by faith in our Lord Jesus, and that you continually bless us in all the prayers and the things that we ask of you in days past. Lord, we don't thank you enough for those things that you truly provide for us. We do ask you now that you'd be pleased to grant us a hearing ear and an understanding heart, and that you would turn our minds from all else, and that you would truly teach us now, Lord, by your word, through your gospel, through your spirit in our hearts. And Lord, edify us. Call out your sheep. Make us to know true wisdom is to know our Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father. Lord, we ask you to forgive us our sins. We pray to you now in the name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we have an account here of two contrasting types of people. And what I want you to see here is a contrast in heart. A contrast in heart. The Pharisees and the scribes were the religious establishment of the day. They were much like the what we consider the conservative fundamental Christians in our day, so-called Christians in our day, as opposed to like Sadducees, which would be considered like the liberal so-called Christians in our day. Why is it that two opposing groups like that, who normally won't get along with each other, how is it that they came together to crucify the Lord Jesus Christ? Why was that? Why is it that folks who claim to believe the gospel we preach, who claim to believe it in creed, will side with folks who trust in their free will and side against us and not hear the gospel with us? How is that and not be one with us when they claim that they are one with us? These Pharisees claim to be worshiping God, and here God stands in their midst. And they argue with him, and they're contentious toward him, and they debate with him over just tradition, traditions of men. That's the problem they're having, traditions of men, man-made precepts, man-made arguments. And so he asked them, he says, by your tradition, by your these man-made washing of the hands and all this, he said, by that, he said, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Now, he's not implying there that we come to God, that the believer can come to God by the law. He's not implying there that we're under the law. He's just teaching these folks who have all these rules and these outward ceremonies and these outward washings and things, who claim to be keeping the law just as they keep these traditions. He's telling them, you break the very commandments of God by your traditions, teaching for commandments what are really just the precepts of men, not the commandments of God at all. I can't tell you how many times I'll preach the word and I'll hear somebody in disagreement, and they'll come up and they'll quote somebody from some preacher from the past, somebody that preached the gospel. They'll quote them and say, well, they said this or they said that. How often did they do that to the Lord? They come up to him and say, well, Moses said, and he said, well, if you believed what Moses said, you'd believe me, because Moses was writing of me the whole time. Everything in the law and the prophets was written of the Lord Jesus. But why is it that folks who claim to be seeking the glory of God and walking according for the glory of God and truly concerned over the glory of God, why is it that folks won't hear when the gospel is preached and when the message that's being preached is truly the message that is simply exalting God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, exalting the fullness of the Godhead in Christ Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God, when it's abasing the sinner and it's exalting God and God's receiving all the glory in the message, why won't everybody that claims to believe Christ, why aren't they together on that message? Why aren't they saying, yes, that is the gospel. We believe. We're of one accord. Why is that? Well, the Lord says here, verse 8, he's quoting Isaiah, and he said, Isaiah spoke well of you. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's a heart problem. These Pharisees, if you looked at them on the outward appearance, you would think they were the cream of the crop when it came to piety, when it came to looking at somebody and saying, now that's a moral man. And he says here, verse 9, he's quoting Isaiah still, in vain do they worship me. They claim to be worshiping God. They claim, although they didn't believe Christ to be God, they claim to be worshiping God. And he says, in vain they do worship me. It's all vanity. Every bit of it's vanity. Teaching as though it's the doctrine of God, when it's really just the commandments of men. The commandments of men. It's not according to this word, according to the law and the testimony, to the word of God, to the Holy Scriptures, the Lord said through Isaiah, it's because there's no light in them. And he told them then, he told the disciples to leave them alone. He said, they're blind and they're leading the blind. That's who hear each other. Blind, these blind, spiritually dead religious folks would side with these blind religious leaders. And they would follow these blind religious leaders. But he said, leave them alone. They both fall into the ditch. And he said to them, he said, it's not those things, verse 18, it's not those things which proceed out of the, or those things which go into the mouth, verse 17, that defile. They go into the mouth, they go into the belly, they go out. This is what they were minding carnal things. And that's what most of religion in our day is. It's minding carnal things. It's minding what you eat and don't eat, what you do and don't do, what you touch and don't touch, what you see and don't see, what these things. Minding, I get so tired of hearing, you know, we're a church body that we believe we all are accountable to each other. That's just one more indication that you're going to find in a place like that a whole lot of finger pointing and a whole lot of self-righteousness and a whole lot of frightened folks who are in bondage. Well, he says to them, it's that which comes out of the heart. That's what defiles the man. It's a heart issue. It's a heart problem. The heart has to be made new. God has to give a new heart, created anew, recreated after the image of God, one that desires the glory of God, one that has the law of God written on the heart, one that has the better testament written on the heart, one that can see and hear and smell and feel and touch and really know who God is and follow after God. And he says to them that they're disputing and their questions and their having a problem and taking issue with the Lord. He said this is their problem, verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Where did these man-made doctrines come from? Out of the heart. They were evil thoughts. That's what they were. They were evil imaginations. They were made up things. And he said murder, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are all things the law is against. And he said, that's what the heart is. And the law of God is against the natural heart of man. But when the Lord creates a new heart, what did Paul say that new heart is? He said, out of it is the fruit of love and long-suffering and kindness and gentleness and meekness. And he said, against those things there is no law. is no law at all. It's in accordance with the law of God. It's the very spirit of the law of God, what the law of God's teaching. That's the substance of the new man. That's what he is. He's new. He's created after the image of God. That's who our God is. That's how he is. And he said, these things, these evil things, this heart condition, this is what defiles the man. But to eat with unwashing hands, that doesn't defile a man. You know, I don't know if I've told you this, given you this illustration or not, but there's a place way up north where you can stand and you can put one foot on the other and the other foot and straddle the Mississippi River. And then down at the Gulf of Mexico, where the Mississippi River runs into the Gulf, it is huge down there. You can't go down there and try to change the course of that river. But you could stand right there where it's coming up, bubbling up, and where it's just a little stream, and turn it whichever way you want to turn it. Our God doesn't go to the... Men go out here to the Gulf of Mexico, to the hands and to the body and to the eyes and the ears and the flesh, and try to change what can only be changed by going to the source of the problem. And only God can do that. Go to the heart and change that problem and make a new heart. But then I want you to notice something. I put this together one day reading this, and it really struck me here. You see, the apostles had some problems with this, what the Lord was teaching them. And Peter came, and he said, Lord, declare unto us this parable. And the Lord explained to him, it's a heart problem, Peter. This is why they're offended at you, Lord. And he said, leave them alone. And Peter don't understand why they're offended. What's the offense? Why are they so offended? And the Lord said, it's a heart issue. Now the Lord, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here, who is God, who works all things together according to the counsel of his will. He can work everything together for the good of them who he's called, that love him by his grace. And he does all this on purpose. Then, verse 21, Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. He takes his disciples with him. He's going there to teach this disciple. He's going to teach them something about what he just taught, what he just said to them. He's going to show it to them. He's going to show them this difference of this, the difference between that heart of a Pharisee and a heart that's been made new. Now watch. So they go over there to Tyre and Sidon, and this woman of Canaan comes out of the same coast, and this is a woman of Canaan. She's not of Israel, of the nation Israel. She's not a Pharisee. This is a woman from Canaan. She's not a man. She's not a Pharisee or a scribe like they were. This is a woman, and a Canaanite woman at that. She came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, he went to these coasts for a purpose. He went there because this was a certain woman there. Anytime we read that word certain, it's always important in the scripture, certain woman. God has certain people he's going to come to. They're called the elect of God, those that he's everlastingly loved. And he's going to come to them, and he's going to find them. And he comes to this woman, and we read that in another place that this woman is a Syrophoenician by nation. She's a Greek. She's a Syrophoenician by nation. See, the Lord's fixing to show us something here about what happens when he gives a pure heart, when he gives faith. He's going to contrast here for us the difference between a Pharisee, a hypocrite in heart, who draws near with his mouth, but his heart's far from God, and contrasting that with a pure heart, great faith, that's the gift of God. He's going to show us the difference. And he does it by showing us, it doesn't matter if you're a Pharisee, it doesn't matter if you're of the nation of Israel, it doesn't matter if you were raised up in a godly household in the temple with the oracles of God, or if you're a Greek Syrophoenician woman like this woman. What matters is what grace has done in the heart. That's what we're talking about here. So that's a big contrast here about this, between this woman and those folks. And so he comes here to where she is. There's no doubt about it that we see here she came to him. She did that. But she came to him when he came to her. He came to where she was. He came to the coast where she was. The Lord's going to come to where his children are. This woman had a need. She had a daughter that was grievously vexed. The Lord's going to give us a dire need to make us call on him. He's going to work everything together to make us to know he's able to meet our need. He's going to do that. No man can come to him except the Father which sent him, draw him. And they'll come then, and they'll fall at his feet. We'll love him because he first loved us. And that's what he's going to make us to see. Now, do you have some need? Do you, anybody here have a need for him, a dire need for him? A real need for him? Well, it's evident. It's evident if you do. And I've given up trying to determine, and I shouldn't, nobody should, to determine who are God's sheep and who aren't. But I do know this. Just preach the word. Just preach the word. The Lord said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And a stranger they won't follow. These Pharisees wouldn't follow the Lord. They just wouldn't. And he said the problem was their heart. But now let's see what this woman does. Verse 22, she comes and she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. Now that's the first thing we see about a pure heart of faith. It comes to Christ. That's where she came to. She came to Christ and she came seeking mercy. You know what mercy is? When you come and ask in mercy, she came there not because her daughter was well, because her daughter was sick. You don't come to Christ if you think you're well. You come to him if you think you're sick. You don't come to him if you think you have wisdom. You come to him asking because you need answers. You need him to be your wisdom. You won't come to him if you're full. You come to him asking to be filled. That's how we come to him. That's what being a mercy beggar is. So she comes to him, and she's grievously vexed. You young people, listen to me. You sit here and you think, well, I don't know why my mom and my dad are so eager for me to come here, and I don't know why they insist on me being here and all these things. Let me tell you something. I can tell you this. I know this is so. A believing mother and father, they're vexed about their child. They want their child, their son and their daughter, to know the Lord. And just like it says here that this woman's daughter was vexed with a devil, those who don't know the Lord are under the power of the prince of the power of the air. You're under the strong man has you bound. You really are. You have got to be. He's got to come and bind that wicked one and bind that strong man and give you a heart so you can hear and you can see and you can understand. He's got to do a miracle of grace in you. And he'll do it through this gospel, through this word, through his spirit. And that's why they want you here hearing this gospel and hearing this word preached. Because they're vexed for you like she was. And they pray for you like she came to the Lord and prayed for him. It's a little side note, but that's so. Now, notice how she addresses him. She says, O Lord, thou son of David. She's confessing him to be Lord, to be Emmanuel, to be God with us. And she calls him that. That's who he is. He is the Lord. Now, here's the second thing. A pure heart, a true heart, will be tried of the Lord. Be tried of the Lord. Look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. He didn't say anything to her. How many times have you prayed to the Lord, truly sought mercy, truly asked him, truly begged God for mercy, and it just seemed like he's not going to answer you. Just not going to answer you. True faith, this true heart, it's going to be tried. It's going to be tried. But you know what a true heart, a pure heart and a true faith, you know what it always does? Stays on Jehovah. Stays on God, stays on the Lord, keeps asking, keeps waiting, keeps begging. Can't be turned away. just can't be turned away. How long do you think those Pharisees would have kept begging? They didn't come asking for anything in the beginning. They just came to argue. They wouldn't have hung around if he ignored them. The third thing here. A pure heart of faith receives and believes and submits to the word of God's grace concerning who Christ is and what he's done. Look at verse 23. He didn't answer a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Now, she didn't get an answer from the Lord, and she goes to his disciples and she starts asking them. This woman's persistent. This is a pure heart. This is a heart of faith. She needs the Lord. She needs him. She needs mercy. So she goes to his disciples and starts asking them. And they go to the Lord. They get kind of grieved by her because she just keeps on, you know, she's persistent. And so they go to the Lord. And they say, they said, "Send her away. She's crying after us now." Now, listen to me. The Lord came to do the will of God who sent him. The God of heaven and earth sent him for a particular purpose. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." He said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And he tells them, now, don't send her away. Don't send her when she's crying after you. This is what he's telling them. Don't do that. He gives them this word. He says this, verse 24. He answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Oh, that's going to, boy, when they go back and tell her that, that's going to run her off. That's going to make her feel so terrible because she's not an Israelite by nation. She's a Syrophoenician by nation. That's going to really run her off. That's going to make her so sad. When have you ever heard the gospel and it made you sad? If you know the Lord, if you've been given a pure heart and a heart of faith, when have you ever heard the gospel and it made you sad? Gospel don't make you sad. The gospel brings you great joy. The gospel is the good news. It's the comfort of my people. It's the declaration that our warfare is accomplished, that the Lord's rewarded us double for all our sins. Is what he said to them to tell her the gospel? See, he's teaching his disciples something here. They just left the Pharisees who wouldn't hear what the Lord said. And he told them it's a heart issue. That's their whole outward problem of not following the word, not delighting in Christ, not delighting in the gospel. They delight in that outward show. They delight in hierarchy of people and church and the whole, like a big drama club and a big, all that. They delight in that stuff. They delight in that. It's no different, really. A church without Christ, a so-called church without Christ, is no different than what makes men delight in something like the Freemasons or anything else. It's a power and position and, you know, a way to have folks, and it's just somewhere to fit in and be somebody. But in the church where God is, where Christ is, speaking, men and women are there because they want to hear Christ. They want to delight. They delight in him. They're following him. And that's what brings us together. And that word is the discernment. That word is what separates. That word is what divides, strikes to the very thoughts and intents of a man's heart, and exposes the man for what he is. You remember those? All those come out of Egypt and they walked for a ways and they were all together. And it wasn't very long and some of them said, "We're tired of this light bread. We won't go back to Egypt. We won't go back being that bondage under that taskmaster, make bricks. At least we got to eat garlics and leeks and things like that. We're tired of this light bread." All God's preacher does is set forth the light bread, Christ, the bread from heaven, the manna from heaven. And sooner or later, folks will say, "Well, you got anything else?" Uh-oh, there's a problem. It struck to the intent of the heart. The intent of the heart never was to worship Christ. It was to be there to find out, where's life in my hand? Where's something I can do? Where's something I can do? But this gospel is life. It's life. Look, how's this the gospel, what he told them to tell her? And he told, I love this too, he's telling them to go tell her this, just like he's told me to come tell you the gospel. Just like he sends forth his messengers with the gospel word. Look at how this is the gospel. He said, I'm not sent. Our Lord Jesus Christ is sent, isn't he? He was sent of God. I was sent to do the will of him that sent me, he said. Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. He was sent. He says he was sent to save a particular people. He said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the gospel, isn't it? I'm not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, this woman's not, she's not of national Israel, but she's of the house of Israel, the true Israel. She's God's Israel. She's one of those chosen from before the world began. And what kind of people, what kind of sheep are these that he sent to? They're lost sheep. Lost sheep. They have no way of being found unless he comes to them and finds them. They're sheep. They're his sheep. And he's the shepherd. And he's going to come to them. And he's going to find every one of them. And he's going to put them on his shoulder. And he's going to bring them home rejoicing. Every single one of them. And he tells her this. This is the word that's going to, he's showing his disciples. You go back and tell her this and watch what happens. Watch what happens. Go back and tell her the gospel. Go back and tell her, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to mine elect, my chosen, who are lost. I came to redeem them. I came to buy them. I came to purge their sin. I came to call them by my grace. I came to bring them home to the Father. I came to bring them and present them faultless before God. That's why I came. Go tell her that. Go tell her that. He has power over all flesh. He's the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. That's what... Well, what was her response when she heard that? What'd she do? What'd she do? Verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. You know what the gospel will do to one that has a pure heart, one that has God-given faith? It'll make them come to him and fall down and worship him and call him Lord and say, I need help. I can't save myself. That's what it'll do. That's exactly what it'll do. You see, there's a big contrast here from what those Pharisees were. They came saying, all they wanted to argue about was ceremony. All they wanted to argue about was, Why do y'all do it that way and when we do it this way? Why what I don't like is how y'all do things this way. We always done them this way. If we know Christ and we're worshiping the same Lord, the same God, the same Savior, that mess don't matter. It don't matter. If y'all all worship laying on your backs, it'd be all right with me. I can preach the gospel to you that way. It don't matter. In fact, where I came from, most folks don't come dressed in shorts and like as quite as casually as y'all do. That's okay with me. I really don't care. I think, really, for me, I want to come dressed honoring the Lord, you know, that I serve. But that I'm not going to let that interfere with what we're talking about here. We're not talking about those little things. We're talking about who we serve, where our oneness is, who it is that we're following after. And this woman, when he's showing his disciples, when a person has a true heart of faith, when they hear the word of sovereign electing grace, when they hear the word of predestinating grace, when they hear the word of redeeming grace, when they hear the word of regenerating grace, when they hear the word of preserving grace, when they hear grace, 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 glory to God in the highest, and that which abases man. Oh, their hearts get set on fire, and they come to him, and they worship him, and they say, Lord, help me, help me, help me. Now, her response was altogether different from the Pharisees, and this is the contrast of hearts that he's teaching us here. He's worked all this together, leaves a whole area where these people are, and knows right where he's going to the Syrophoenician woman. Leaves teaching them this lesson just as easily as if I was on this side of the room and was teaching y'all, and I walked over here to this side of the room and started teaching you. He's of power to work everything together. So he was teaching them this in one place with the Pharisees, and they saw that heart, and he told them the heart problem is the issue, and he takes them over here to another place and takes them to this Syrophoenician woman. He's worked her out of need. She's there. She's come begging him. They come now, and they're saying, we just need to send her away. She's getting on our nerves. And he said, no, go preach the gospel to her and watch what happens. He's teaching these boys the difference between a true, pure heart of faith and that heart that draws near with the mouth, but where the heart's really far from it. What did the Pharisees do? Turn to John 10. John 10, 25. Look, verse 20. Let's look at verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? that's a telltale question right there. It's the Lord's fault that they don't believe. That's what they're saying. How long do you make us to doubt? Tell us plainly, if thou be the Christ. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you. I preached the same gospel to you as I preached to that Syrophoenician woman. I told you. And you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now watch this. But ye believe not because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, what discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. He didn't say, you're not my sheep because you don't believe me. He said, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. You don't hear my voice because you're not my sheep. You have no problem with all these other customs and traditions and walking after the law and saying you love Moses and saying you love all the dead prophets, because the dead prophets can't do a thing to you. They can't tell you you're wrong. They can't sit up and preach the gospel to you where it's going to rebuke you in your heart. You can, if you get upset with what they say, you turn the page. Shut their mouth. But you can't shut this one's mouth. You can't. He's right here live for you, preaching to you, teaching you. The Lord's telling them this. And he said, and the reason that you don't believe me, the reason you can't hear my voice, is you're not my sheep. My sheep hear me. When they came back to that Syrophoenician woman, she heard. She heard his voice. She heard the truth. She heard the gospel. And she came to him and she said, Lord, help me. It's all the same as if she was coming to him and saying, okay, you're sent to lost sheep. Here I am. Lord, help me. I'm one of those. I take my place right there. Help me. That's a pure heart. That's a heart of faith. All right, here's the fourth thing. A pure heart of faith is going to confess there's no good in a sinner, in the sinner. She come back to him now. She's talking to him directly. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Was it your will that saved you? Was it some foreseen merit in you on God's part that made him choose you? Would he see down the road somewhere that you'd believe, so he decided, okay, I'll choose you? Was it anything about you that made God set his affection on you? It wasn't. If you know him, it wasn't. If you know the truth, you know it wasn't. He said, it's not me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Are you a dog? Are you? Are you a dog? Look what she answered. She don't defend herself. She don't say anything. She don't say, Lord, I came to you. She doesn't say, when I heard the gospel, I believed it. She doesn't say, look how persistent I've been. She doesn't say anything to commend herself to anybody. Look what she said. Truth, Lord. Truth. I'm a dog. And I don't deserve anything. Truth, Lord. I can tell you how you'd know a pure heart from a hypocritical false heart. A pure heart's going to not just say, I don't deserve anything. But when they're said, you're not getting anything, they're going to say, okay, all right, I don't deserve it. Look what she said. She takes her place with the dog, and she says, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. You don't have to give me a feast. Just take a crumb. I'll just, whatever you can give me, Lord, whatever you're willing to give me, that's what I'll take. Take my place with the dogs under the table. That's a heart that God's given. That's a pure heart. That's a true heart. You see the contrast here between this woman and those Pharisees? Now, if you looked at this woman, if you passed her on the street or you saw her or she came into this place right here, whatever, she's not going to be somebody you're going to look at and going to impress you much. Now, those Pharisees, just looking with these eyes, you know, they'd impress religious folks. They probably wouldn't impress you any more than they'd impress me. That kind of stuff stopped impressing me when the Lord called me. But they would look impressive to religion. They'd be just the kind of folks religion wants. An attractant. Something that will make people want to come, you know. Well, what does he say about her? Verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Great faith comes to Christ seeking mercy, owning him to be who he is. She came to him and said, Lord, Lord, Son of David, that one promised. Great faith waits on Christ and can't be driven away. He didn't answer. She kept on waiting on him, asking him. Great faith bows to the gospel of Christ as it's revealed in his word. He said, I'm sent to particular lost sheep. I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to redeem them only. It's called particular redemption. It means Christ died for somebody, and he purged the sin of somebody, and he accomplished the redemption of somebody. And every one of those for whom he died shall be saved. His cross shall not ever fail. That's what the scripture says of him. He shall not fail. True faith hears that and says, truth, Lord. Hypocrisy hears that and says, well, I believe that, but I also believe that these liars over here that are saying Christ died for everybody and wants to save everybody, they're also preaching the truth. Because what that hypocritical heart is really saying is, I think I was saved under that. And by my same will that made my decision for Christ, I arrived at this superior knowledge of doctrine, and that's all my hope's in now, what I've learned, how I've come to the doctrines of grace. And I didn't like them at first, but I came around to it. Now I like them all right. And now I see that that's a lie, and those people that understand that, they're just way beneath us. But now, because he hadn't been saved by God's grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit and renounced the hidden things of darkness and called it dung what it is, because he's still trusting in that profession and still trusting in that lie, he'll say, but now they're still my brethren. If you believe that, let me give you this crystal clear. Me and you don't believe the same God. We just don't. And it'll be evident. It'll be evident, because a pure heart, God-given faith, when he hears that, comes and says, Lord, help me. Just like this woman. That's what this woman heard. That's what she heard. A hypocrite says, that Armenian free will idolatry is a lie. But I saved under that lie. That's hypocrisy. That don't even make sense. That don't even make sense. Fourthly, great faith repents from any pretended goodness in us and takes our place as dogs at the master's table. It's not a matter of tolerance and accepting folks and this and that. This is the problem. that folks that won't submit to the gospel and the word of God and say, truth, Lord, is that they don't think they're dogs. You don't think you're dog. The Pharisees didn't think they were dogs. They thought they could clean themselves. He said, you got a defiled heart. She was a dog. And great faith always gets what it asks for. That's the fifth thing. Great faith always gets exactly what it's asked for. You know why? Because great faith's been made one with Christ. And he delights to shower his children in mercy and grace. Did she get what she asked for? Look at verse 28 at the end. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Do you see the contrast in hearts? The contrast in heart. I hope you do. God teach you.